Hello and welcome to a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Todd.
This is probably gonna be a pretty spicy one, huh?
I guess.
Yeah. I think it is. We watched Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, it's gonna be spicy.
Okay. From 2024. This was directed by Cameron Cairns and Colin Cairns, and I don't think we've seen any of their other movies, but I saw two that looked interesting. One was called 100 Bloody Acres, and one's called Scare Campaign. Hmm. They seem kind of well-received, so we should probably check them out.
Yeah, they sound cool.
And when I say this is going to be spicy, we both did like this movie a lot.
Yeah.
I think I liked it more than you did.
You did, but I just need to watch it again.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But for those of you who don't know, I'm going to tell you what I knew about the movie going into it, because this is the thing I really want to talk about up front if we're not talking spoilers. Mm-hmm. We like to go into movies knowing like nothing about them, especially horror movies.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, because it's fun to be surprised by it.
Yeah.
And this is one that got a lot of attention when mm-hmm. it was in the festivals and people were really going crazy about it. So I definitely felt like, oh, I don't want to know anything. I just want to wait and see it.
Yeah.
And I didn't even watch any trailers or anything.
I don't think I did either. I caught clips of them as ads that would pop up.
Yeah, but you can't really avoid that, yeah. Like on YouTube.
But I don't think I watched a full trailer for it either.
Yeah, and that's usually like the protocol. You know, it's like that's the smart thing to do mm-hmm. when you know it's going to be good. And this is an example of how that can get tested, I think, because overall, so again, what I knew about it going into it, knowing that like I avoided this stuff, is it was supposed to be like a 70s style late night talk show, like very faithfully done, that shows like an exorcism, which isn't exactly accurate, but that's kind of what I had picked up on. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be like really crazy.
Yeah.
And that's like all I knew. So I was like, I'm game. That sounds awesome. And at the end of the day, I think the first thing we kind of said to each other afterwards is we were expecting like an A24 style,
yes.
Like really fucked up ending and like that style of tone. And what we got was more like an Adult Swim, like Too Many Cooks style, which sounds denigrating, but like,
I hate to say like a dumb metaphor, but it's literally like apples and oranges. Like you just like,
oh yeah. But compare. I mean, like, I'm not trying to say one is better than another. It's just a different, cause we're a big fan of that. Like Too Many Cooks style. Like that is a really cool style. But we didn't expect that. Yeah. We were expecting something different.
Yeah.
And that's what created this like weird scenario mm-hmm. where overall we both really liked it, but we were just so thrown off by our expectations that it definitely impacted the experience. And I think that's a strange thing that can happen with this stuff, mm-hmm. you know? And it makes me wonder, like, would I have liked it more if I had a better idea of the tone, you know?
Well, no, I wonder that too, but I also wonder the marketing for this movie, like that I saw, and that like static marketing of like posters and images and just even the little bits and pieces of a trailer I saw.
Yeah.
It made it seem like an A24-esque level to me. And that's how I was perceiving it. And I think you brought up like the way A24 approaches their story and stuff like that. I was looking more in the art department style, and it's definitely not there, but it's not like bad. It's just not what I was expecting.
That was the other thing you mentioned afterwards, that you weren't really impressed with the art department stuff.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that. It's a very complicated subject.
Well, okay. So I guess, we should, I almost forgot about this. We should talk about this up front. That there is controversy around the movie and the way it uses AI art. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've seen a lot of people be dismissive about it because they're like, oh, it's just 5 seconds of the movie. Because it's like these little title card pieces in between segments.
It does seem like they used it on set pieces as well, too.
Maybe.
Like,
I don't. I just know the one has been like confirmed.
Yeah.
And the thing is, at the end of the day, yes, it doesn't really affect the movie. But this is just such a touchy subject that I feel like you have to say something. Because otherwise, it'll just go out of control. You know?
I wouldn't say it doesn't affect the movie because it does. Like it does in the smallest way. It still does affect the movie, but not in a way that a lot of people probably care about.
I was going to say probably not to the average person.
Yeah,
but it's just I'm just saying like it's not even about that. It's not about like how much they use it. It's that anytime something like this comes up, we feel very strongly about this. Yes. You have to say something. Because otherwise, if you don't say anything and you act like it's not a big deal, it'll just start creeping more and creeping more.
This
so you
kind of
have to cut it off.
Yeah, this cannot be standard. Like, I do not want to see this in another film ever again. I hope that it's a lesson learned. And I think I think the AI subject is a very complicated one.
Yeah, we don't need
but
to
I don't
totally
need to get
it.
Into all of that. But all I can say here is, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time to hire an artist.
Yes.
It really doesn't. And I think that is something everybody needs to take a step back from and just take a breather on.
Yep. And yeah, we don't need to dwell on it. It's just we need to say something, you know? Yeah. So, but beyond that, you were saying even like the wardrobe and stuff you didn't think was like authentic enough.
I don't think it was as pushed as far as it could go. But yeah, it felt like bare minimum kind of set dressing and wardrobe and hair. I felt like could have been pushed a little bit more too. 70s is all about hair.
Yeah.
But I think that's just the art production side of me that just like wanted to see that.
That's what I was going to say. I think that you would notice that a lot more than I would because that it didn't bother me. That part I thought was completely fine. For me, I think in that same vein, though, I remember reading something afterwards about how they were originally thinking about using more traditional cameras from like the time period to get that full look.
That would have fixed a lot of things, honestly.
Well, that's the thing. They decided to go with digital, I think, to help with like the VFX stuff. And the thing is, at the end of the day, I think that summarizes my problem with the aesthetic is like if they had gone with that camera style, I think that would have completely taken it all the way to being like authentic.
Definitely. And I probably wouldn't have the same gripe with the wardrobe and hair and everything because I mean, it just would have looked right.
It has like a very clean look to it that I wasn't expecting.
That is a good way to put it. I will say like there was almost no like lived in part of the set. The wardrobe and stuff was all like pristine, clean.
Yeah.
Everything. Like there was no like lived in part of it, of the clothing they were wearing or how the set was dressed, you know, like it was just.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I could probably go on and on.
Yeah. I think the, like the thing is, this is like, it's such a strange example. I don't want people to think we're like hating on this because I guess one way to put it, I was thinking the other day. This is a movie going into it. I don't like going into number ratings on here because it just feels stupid. It's like, just go look on Letterboxd if you want to see that. But this was a movie I was expecting to be like a 5-star or like a 4.5, maybe like a little flawed. And I gave it a 4. Yeah. And that's still like, obviously a 4 out of 5 is still super high. It's just not what I was expecting to give it. Yeah. So I still really liked it.
And see, I was on the same page as you. I would have given it 4 stars, but because of AI, as an artist, I took a whole star for AI, like at least a whole star.
That's understandable.
But
the point I was making is that like we both really liked it. It's just that it didn't meet what our expectations were. And I don't think our expectations were really fair, honestly.
No. Looking back at how I was excited for this movie, I mean, I found out about the AI stuff, unfortunately, before we even saw the movie. So it really dampened my expectations.
Well, yeah. It didn't meet the expectations that we had kind of unfairly set for it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't help that the whole AI reveal happened before we saw it, too. But it's just, it's a weird lesson how staying completely in the dark can work against you, you know, in certain instances like this.
Yeah, but I honestly, I didn't even think it was going to be an issue.
I know. Well, me neither, but that's why, like, you just never know.
Yeah.
Because I kind of, it made me wish that I had maybe seen a trailer or something.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing I'd say is that it's also just that it wasn't scary. Like, I guess I thought at the end something would happen that was, like, really scary. Mm. But, I mean, we really need to see it again, I think, is the main thing.
So, well, it's coming to streaming, I think, soon.
Yeah, it is.
So
I'm looking forward to watching it again.
I am, too. Because I really want to, like, go in and, like, clear my
mind.
Give
it a fair shot.
Yeah.
So I think we'd still recommend it, though, because it's still very good.
It is.
But it maybe it does help if you have a little more context going into it.
Depending on, you know, how you view films, I guess, how you go into them.
So why don't we get into the spoilers? So I mentioned that I had what I'd heard about the movie is it was supposed to be like an exorcism on a late night talk show. So the actual setup for the movie, it's framed like a documentary about this like lost episode or something of this late night talk show that was in the 70s. And it I guess what I didn't expect is how much it was going to go into this like behind the stage drama.
Oh, I didn't expect that either.
Yeah, this behind the scene drama about this guy who is getting ready to lose his late night spot and whatever, and they're trying to get ratings. It's like that. I think right out the gate, that was what started throwing me off.
Because it
was definitely not what I thought we were just going to see, like an episode of the show, you know? And the fact they were adding all this additional story, it wasn't a bad thing, but it just didn't, it felt kind of strange. Mm-hmm. So you too, like that surprised you?
Yeah, it definitely surprised me. But when it started, I was excited for it because I think it goes from color to black and white when they're backstage, which I like. That's a good way to show that.
Yeah, it was cool.
But I think as it went on, I got a little confused because I was like, well, wait, what am I watching?
Yeah, it definitely made me wonder, like, where is this going? Yeah. Like, because I think I still was expecting something crazy at the end. So I was waiting to see what would happen. Mm. But then, yeah, they bring on this young girl who I guess is like possessed, but it's not really an exorcism. It's more like they're trying to prove it and like talk to the demon or whatever.
Yeah, because there's that one guy
to get ratings.
There's that one guy there that.
The skeptic.
Yeah, and then he's like a hard skeptic.
Yeah. You know, he's based on like a real guy. I don't know if you've heard of this guy.
No.
I don't remember his name. I remember hearing about him a lot. He would go on these talk shows and put up like this big reward, like monetary reward, if people can prove that, you know, this kind of stuff is real.
Okay.
And he was like a dickhead. He was just like the character in the movie.
It sounds like a dickhead thing to
do. He was like an asshole who would like refute everything. And like, even when he was shown like weird stuff, he would refuse to pay out or whatever.
It's a weird personality trait.
Very weird. But it is this exact character, which is what's funny. And then, yeah, the ending is this thing, this like demon or something. They build up some like lore behind this.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it like some kind of cult? What am I like?
I don't. I really forgot. Need to see it. I need to see it again.
Okay, forget that part. But she's possessed by like this demon or something, and then there's a few like weird creepy parts. Like there's the part where the guy who's like his what do they call that, like the head of the band.
He's like
the band leader. I guess what do they call that on those talk shows?
I can't even think of a name of. I can like see him in my head, but I
every
don't
one
know
of the
his
shows
name
had that guy.
If you have the guy that stands over and talk, you like banter, I guess.
So that guy, he the demon, I guess, like gets in his head and he starts hallucinating all this weird stuff, like worms coming out of him, you know? And I think that was another big thing for me, because the style of the special effects was definitely not like really realistic and scary. It was like really over the top
and weird. But yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it was
like,
great.
I like lean more into like there's so many like good moments. It's like I wish they would have just like really leaned into
that. No, that stuff was really cool. But yeah. I'm saying like that was where my expectations started getting thrown off because it was like, oh wait, this is more of like that kind of weird over the top thing and not like something really scary and realistic.
Yeah.
And so that started like, I think that probably contributed to why I still wound up liking it, because I started picking up on that really early and it started setting my expectations.
Yeah.
But I guess I was still just kind of disappointed because I was like, I kind of wanted to see that other movie. You know what I mean? Like the other movie.
The other movie in your head?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like I have to mourn that movie because like, well, that's not what I got.
I mean, so. I do too. I mean, yeah. I'm also mourning, you know.
That kind of like production design?
Yes. Yeah. I am mourning that kind of production design.
Yeah. I just wish they hadn't gone digital, because that really leans into the like Adult Swim aesthetic when it's like that clean. You know what I mean?
Yes and no, because Too Many Cooks kind of had that like old TV.
Yeah, they did use like those kind of filters and stuff.
But I want to go back to the special effects we were talking about.
Yeah.
I really feel like if they had like, I don't know, I would like to know what the intention was on the film. Like, just hear them talk about the concept and who they were inspired by and stuff like that.
Yeah, we
just
haven't really looked into any of that either. No. So.
Well, I mean, that's how you wanted this show to be.
I know. No, I'm not saying. I'm just explaining. Yes.
Yeah. But it almost sort of feels like it also was going for a little bit of like a grindhouse
feel. Oh, totally.
But I mean, like,
that's probably a better way of putting it than, I don't want to call it Adult Swim because that sounds insulting.
I think Adult Swim is high praise.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is. Like, we're huge fans of Eric Andre and Too Many Cooks. And, yeah, like.
But, yeah, I think grindhouse is a better way of summarizing that kind of style.
Yeah.
And especially because at the end, when everything does go crazy, mm-hmm. the way like her head splits open and there's like lightning coming out and shit, like it is very like ridiculous while also being very creepy and weird, but it's not like scary. It just was definitely like, oh, this is really cool looking, but I'm not like freaked out or whatever.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
Yeah, but it was yeah it was awesome though.
Yeah,
so it definitely it was a cool ending that again just wasn't in line with what I expected, mm-hmm. but it was really cool for what it is. So yeah, I hope people don't think we're being super negative. I think
I think there's nuance to it.
Well, like, I think part of it, I do think it's an interesting conversation about expectations versus reality and how it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's kind of like your own fuck up at that point. But it's also just like a lot of times when I see something that I really, really like, it becomes easier to focus on the little things I don't like. Mm-hmm. Whereas if something's middle of the road, it's just like, whatever, you know, like, okay, you fucked this up. Who cares? Like, it's just whatever. So I wind up feeling more strongly when I really like a movie about those things. But yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about it?
I don't want to say anything negative. I really don't. Cause like I had like pretty harsh criticisms when we came out of the theater, but then obviously is like, I really got to sit on it and like think about the movie. I'm like, it's not really totally fair. I actually like have to go back and look at my Letterboxd review because I think like I wrote it like when we came out of the theater and I was like not happy.
Well, it's a good idea anyways. Yeah. I've always thought that the way you feel right after a movie are definitely like the most authentic.
Yeah.
You know, because when you have time to think about it, it can kind of change things.
Yeah. I definitely know I want to see it again. Like 100%.
And we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple more days.
Yeah, I think it's on Shutter soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can find us if you search Ghostbeast Pod in most places or Ghostbeast on Letterboxd. And you can email us at podcast@ghostbeast.com with recommendations or why we are stupid and our opinion
sucks.
No, don't
do that. That's mean.
I'm sorry. I love you. Bye.